Thursday I spent, Mike and I were here recording on the, for Mecca to Christ on the Holy Spirit. So we got almost 2 hours, but the difficulty of this, around it is is something to behold or to experience. It's obviously something the enemy of our souls does not want to get out. So, but we got almost 2 hours, which is amazing. And then Mike left that night for Israel. And we, I don't know, he's already sent us some pictures. He was at in Tiberias on the, Tiberi, on the Lake of Galilee, or, yeah, what is it? Yeah, he was on that lake looking out, and I didn't realize that it's really a small lake. You can see to the other side. It's distant, but you can see to the other side. It's an interesting picture. We'll have to maybe put it out on the men's chat. It's pretty, and then he sent us a map of where he's at. So he got there safely and is excited. Glory to God. We attended a wonderful garden party yesterday. I had fun. Wonderful food. It was so good. And nice, good, intimate fellowship with those that came. All right. You don't have any slides, do you, for me? I mean, I don't know if Mike would have left them back behind, but that's all right. I don't know. I brought them in. I had them on Thursday, so I just wonder if they were here. But if not, that's all right. They may be. I don't know. It's called the Holy Spirit, and it would be slide, I think, 149. I never envisioned this thing getting this big. I'm actually at about 195 slides. It's like 12 megabytes of, and I'm, I don't know where I'm at in terms of the end. You know, I'm doing right now the teachings of Christ on the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to go through the teachings of Paul and then John. So. I don't know what that means in terms of an end. You know, because I thought 14, 15, and 16, I probably have probably 40 slides easily. And I'm only in John 15, so I got to do 16 yet. So, anyways, glory to God. You'll have to say goodbye to Elisha. This is the last day here. Heads off to college. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your name. How gracious you are. I thank you that you're here. It's good to know your presence, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to my heart, first of all. What a precious thing it is to have Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ooh. Oh, you did open it. Okay, glory to God. All right, John 14. These three chapters are, for me, very high points in Scripture. Not that other are not, and I'd say the same thing for a lot of other places in Scripture. Man, I got so much in this pocket. I'm feeling I'm listening to one side. All right, there we go. I'm going to balance me out here. John 14, 15, or 16 are Jesus' teaching on the Holy Spirit. So they're, in my mind, they're very high points. And let's just think about this chapter before we dive into it real quick and what it is. Jesus is, and his disciples have gone through the Last Supper. And Judas is no longer there. He's been he's left to do his evil deed. So it's just the 11 with him. And you have to, you know, they've gone through so very much. They've been with him 3.5 years. They have ate and slept and traveled and, you know, and it probably was fairly rigorous. They, you know, Holiday Inn wasn't around. So it was you know, interesting. They're at times with tens of thousands of people. Other times they were alone, praying and with together, but they've been together with Jesus, the Son of God. And by now, in many ways, that's dawned on their hearts. This is the core of people through which the church was about to begin. Some, 50 days from hence, close to this. And so, you know, he was with them every moment, just about, other than times he'd send them out or whatever. So he was dwelling with them. So they're there at this Passover. They still don't understand about what's to happen. I mean, they have some kind of, something must be able to happen. But, you know, they had just gone through the triumphal entry. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. I mean, to be in that kind of spiritual experience, it must have been incredible. And here they are alone with Jesus, finally at a moment, and they're enjoying the moment. You know, I can imagine they're enjoying the moment, and they probably feel this deep sense of peace and comfort. Like, wow, God, now Jesus is about to tell them that he's taking over the kingdom and armies of angels. You know, I don't know what's going through their head, but something like that must have been going through their head. Not that Jesus was about to die, you know, be crucified and die. That I'm sure they were kept, if they thought about that, they were rejecting that kind of thought. And so we're at this quiet moment. And so Jesus just begins to share his heart with him. And I find it interesting that he begins to share his heart with, I'm about to go, but I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to come back in a way that you, right now you don't understand, in large part. And so he's trying to tell them, this is what's going to happen. I'm really going to be back. And what's so marvelous about this is, and some Bible scholars or whatever think that this was solely for the disciples alone. Because there's statements in there, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to bring everything that happened to your remembrance. So, you know, Bible scholars say, well, you know, he's talking to them and to them alone. We can't ultimately experience what he's talking about here. And that's not really true. That's not true at all. He's speaking to all of us because it got recorded. And it's something that we have to take to heart, and we have to say, wow, God, this is for me. And so You know, he starts out 14. He says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places." I think King James uses the word mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. So all of a sudden, everybody's kind of looking at each other. Where are you going? You know, I thought all of a sudden the kingdom was going to come forth. But he's talking to them about preparing some place for them where they could go. And, you know, I don't think they understood what he was saying. And it says that they didn't really understand. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And Thomas says, wait a minute. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? So he's thinking in terms of physical things. What's the physical place you're going to be going, and how do we get there? You know, is it by boat? You know, what are we going to do? You know, they're thinking earthly, that there's some place where the kingdom is going to be established, or you know, that those are all kinds of things running through your head when you're trying to deny what is the possibilities here in the next few hours. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That still doesn't explain where you're going and how we get there. "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father and it's enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus is doing a teaching here on Trinity. So we see all three pictured and mentioned and talked about in this particular chapter. He's giving a lesson on it. So he's saying, if you knew me, if you really knew me, you would know the Father. So now we're reaching beyond physical knowledge, because they knew Old Testament when the Father ever got even near, that, you know, it was shaking mountains and exploding rocks and thousands of people dying. And you know, they knew that kind of stuff. But now Jesus is saying, if you knew me, you knew the Father, and that he's right here. He says, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say unto you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. So Jesus is trying to reach into what has happened. All that you have seen, you have not ever seen this in this magnitude ever before. In history, and they would know that, in history, they have never seen the magnitude of God's work through one man ever before. So he says, if you can't grab a hold of what I'm saying, grab a hold of what has happened. And that's interesting for us, because we never got to see that. But Jesus has hope for us. He says, blessed are those that have not seen and yet still believe. We have to believe that those things happen. But, you know, he's trying to, you know, get to them. He's trying to help them understand. If you can't understand what I'm saying about the Father being here, then understand based on what has happened over the last 3.5 years. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Wow. So Jesus is saying, if you saw something miraculous in the last 3.5 years, guess what? You're going to see something greater than this. As you believe that the Father is here. And then he brings up that awful statement, because I go to the Father. And then he says, this is an incredible promise. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. It's a promise. It's an incredible promise that God has given us. Do we understand that? Do we understand that we are Jesus' representatives here on earth? That wherever we go, Jesus goes with us. Now, we'd say, well, why doesn't that just happen? I mean, why do I have to think about it? Why can't it just happen and then all kinds of wonderful things happen and everybody gets saved and you know, we have another party in power or something? I don't know. I think that's part of what we think. You know, we say, well, why can't it happen? You know, just happen. And why can't we just, you know, see these kinds of things? But Jesus is placing some requirements here. He's saying, these are wonderful promises that you can bank on. I will do anything, whatever you ask in my name, and that's as Christ's representative, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So the qualification is if God does a wonderful work through you, that it's going to glorify the Father in the Son. So whatever it is going to be identified with glorifying God. And I think there's a warning in this particular passage, in that when God does wonderful things, we need to acknowledge that He did them. Last night I had a very unusual experience about 11 o'clock last night, which was interesting. I had one of my former students that we've known each other for 36 years, so I don't consider him a student anymore. He was a physics student, one of my very early ones. And we became friends after he graduated out of his degree, and I helped guide his path. And he's chief of physics out at the big Swedish American hospital out in, you can see it right on I-90. And we have been dear, dear friends. And we have seen many wonderful works of God, he and I, in seeing God. Now, he is one of those guys, I know, I'd like you to meet him one day, Joe, maybe in heaven, but he is a Catholic. But he is one of these saved Catholics. And he and I have traded miracles or deep, powerful prayer requests over the years, and we have seen God do absolutely amazing things together. And so we're just dear friends. Well, our wives met for the first time in 36 years last night. And he had borrowed our Johnny van to take her father to an event. He's dying. He's 90. He's turning 90. He's dying of cancer. I think he's dying of cancer, but... and so they wanted to borrow our van to take him to an event. I think it was sort of like a garden party. It was just kind of interesting. And so they drove in all the way from Rockton and picked up our van and picked him up. And so they returned the van last night around 10:30 or so. So we're standing out in the driveway, and Kevin and I are just talking and just fellowshipping, and Elisha's standing there. And our wives are talking, and we kind of look over, and they're having a good time. And I thought to myself, they're fellowshipping, they're talking about, you know, what it meant to her and what happened at this event and stuff. And I thought, isn't that so cool to have never met and yet to be fellowshipping at a level in God? And so Kevin and I and Elisha were just standing there. I said, maybe we ought to go in and have a cup of coffee. play a game of Monopoly. They're just, you know, I said, Kevin, they got to get together some more, you know. And our lives have been interesting, an interesting parallel, but I thought, wow, God, what an interesting thing that having never met, and yet the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit in her, in Mary, and in Kathy, just fellowshipping together. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's not about doing things so that people can get saved. It's talking about fellowshipping with God. One of the very early miracles we saw in his family, it was his wife, when they were very young, this had to be probably 30 years ago, got stage 3 breast cancer. Now, stage 3 breast cancer in a young woman is typically fatal. It's insidious, it's ravaging. And God healed her. I mean, it's an amazing thing. In fact, they thought she couldn't have any more children, and so they went to adopt a child. They actually went to China to pick up this child, and then she got pregnant. I think they had 2 others after that. but it's interesting, you know, watching God, you know, work through our lives over the years, and we're very, very dear friends, and we've, you know, that thing. But that's what Jesus is talking about here. It's not checking off boxes. It's not hours of prayer. It's not hours of Bible reading. It's knowing Him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What is it to love God? I've asked that question lately in the last couple of days. What is it to love God? What is it to know Him? Did you love Him? I mean, we can't see Him. You know, there are times in which we can know His manifest presence among us in ways. And in all through Scripture, He's appeared. And all through history, at times, God has appeared manifestly. Now, He's here manifestly here among us, but we may not be necessarily aware of it. There's a deep peace that's here, for one thing. And people remark when they come into the church, I feel such peace, you know. But what is it to love God? He says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's to know Him experientially, for one thing. You know, to walk through various things that God takes you through. You know, you're in His sovereign hands. So every situation you walk through, something that God's had you walk through. He's taking you there. We have at prayer meeting, people present requests. We have that prayer and fasting chain, and we have various prayer chains or communication chains in the church. There's all kinds of requests. I mean, I probably know 40 or 50 people just in our own lives that are in desperate situations. And all those situations are things that God has brought to me for a reason. And so in that love relationship with God, it's not ticking off a bunch of check boxes and say, God, you know, you got my sister and my aunt and my brother and my coworker and all that stuff. It's not checking off those boxes. It's a loving relationship with God Himself. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. So one of the evidences of your love towards God is that you obey Him. Now, you don't have to necessarily go through the whole 10 commandments. Jesus said the whole law is fulfilled in what? 2 commandments. What are they? Love God with everything you got. Body, mind, heart, soul, stuff. You know, I mean, the stuff is God's. You know, I love to give it away. I do. You know, I love to. Unfortunately, Kathy and I have to communicate and say, do we give here or not, you know, that kind of thing. So, but we just enjoy the process. But in that love relationship with God, we obey him. And so he's able to speak to us. We love the Lord your God, and then also love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan after that. So that's how you're supposed to act towards everybody else. No matter what they do for you, you act towards everybody as that Good Samaritan, and you fulfill the second law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, you do those two things, and you're fulfilling all the law. And you're not going to have to necessarily worry about, do I have anger or bitterness toward anybody or that kind of thing. You just won't have to. You know, between brothers and sisters in the faith, you will have that deep, intimate fellowship. And you can notch down to, you know, immediately from where you feel and, you know, all the stuff you've been through to just begin to fellowship. I mean, that's what I saw in, you know, Mary and Kathy just talking last night. They were already in fellowship. We just had fun watching it for a few minutes. And, you know, they had an hour and a half ride back to Rockton, I think they were from, you know, so they weren't going to get there till after midnight. But I thought, isn't this so cool? And we just enjoyed the moment. You know, that's fellowship that comes from loving God. So the natural result of loving God is obeying his commandments. I like that. So now Jesus goes back to the fact, now guys, I want you to remember, I'm leaving. So he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. And, you know, I imagine their hearts are twinging. I mean, this is good and rich stuff that they're hearing. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Isn't that wonderful? So, what Jesus now, you know, I'm a man of equations. I'm a mathematician. So here's this very simple equation. I have to leave, but if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. Because my role is about to be finished. My work is about to be finished. And it is because of my finished work that the Holy Spirit can come. And I'm going to send him, but it's going to be just like Jesus and the Father are here. That's incredible. Just here. Jesus, you know, I used to wonder sometimes. I'd be in a situation and I'd say, God, what would you do if you were here? And I stopped asking that question because Jesus said, I am, John 14. I am, okay. So guide me. And now it's, God, I'm in this situation. I haven't the faintest idea what to do. God, guide me in this situation. Give me what to say, how to say it, or just to be. Sometimes I've been in situations where I knew I was going into a difficult situation, very, you know, it could have been heated and very, very difficult and stuff. And I said, God, I'm going into the situation, whatever I do. I said, well, I'm going in there with you. And I walk into the situation, peace just encases everything. You know? And I've been in other situations in which God says, I got to get you out of here. Because, you know, this is what I'm deciding. I was in that situation some years ago. And I thought, you know, I was going to walk in the situation and everybody was going to get saved and was going to all sing Kumbaya and it would be wonderful. God just took me out of the situation. It wasn't going to get any different. But God took me out of it. And that's walking with God, loving him, and then beginning to know him. It's not, it's good to have a lot of Bible knowledge. But it's another to have it revealed to you in such a way that you know his presence. He says that he's going to abide with us. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The whole concept of you're going to have a father, an eternal father now. Now, the Jews would have understood the concept of God as their Father. And Jesus continuously confronts them and says, you're trying to make Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob your father. You're trying to make Moses your father. But God is your father. And because they could wrap their arms around those people, I know they existed, so I'm going to make them my father. But Jesus is saying, no, you have a true father. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. Now, here he is about to go to his death, and I'm sure this is spinning through their head as they're watching this crucifixion, perhaps from a distance. But he's saying, because I live, you will live also. Now, how are you going to live? You're on this cross. You're going to die. In that day, you will know I am in the Father, you in me, and I in you. Now, I don't care where you think you are on the level of God. If you're a five-star general in God, or you're just nothing, wherever you think you are in God, this is for you. So he repeats the command and he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. So the wonder of this is that God's going to come in the person of this helper or Holy Spirit, and he's going to reveal himself to you. Now, it's not the kind of, the Holy Spirit's going to come with flip charts and Venn diagrams and that kind of thing. It's God revealing it to your heart. So you come to this place where wherever you are at, you know he's there. And you can just sit and enjoy him. And you can be this person, you can take your shoes and socks off. Of course, yeah, Mark never wears those, but you can sit in fellowship. I like that, Do you ever put socks on? I don't know. Okay.
I can't afford
you. Okay. Poor graduate student. Anyways, but it's where you can sit in fellowship with God. This morning I was just sitting fellowshipping with God. I just fellowshipping. I can't even tell you about it. It was just those moments with God, just enjoying him. And what comes out of that fellowship, that's what God wants, that intimate fellowship in those quiet moments of just being with him. What comes out of that is you walk into the world, the Holy Spirit walks with you. And all of a sudden, God does things. Sometimes they seem small, and then you just say, wow, God. I kind of planned it that way. I used to be the five-point man for God. I had 5 points. Now, God, you do these 5 things in this situation. It's in the bank. I mean, it's solved. I used to be like that all the time. Now it's, well, God, I know you want to do something crazy. I'm glad to be here, whatever it might be. And that's when you can, walk into a situation and somebody sits down with you and say, I have terminal cancer and I have four to six months to live. And you can just be at peace there and pray for them and watch God work. Or you can be at a deathbed of an individual that's lost and watch God work. Every situation becomes something in which God is there and he's using you to work through him. You are just his vessel. I mean, when I get up like to do this, I have to say, God, if it's the last thing I do, and if I'm going to make a miserable wreck of life, but you use me on this moment, and you want to take me home this next, you know, a few minutes after I'm done, that's fine, God. I just want you to live and work and speak through me. You go into every situation like that. And I don't care what it is. I mean, I use it in my job in physics all the time. I do. I get into a situation that and I get assigned projects, and that's probably why I sit back and God gives me an insight, and I say, well, why don't we do this, this, and this? Oh, wow, yeah, that's right. Why didn't we think of that? So I just sit back and laugh and enjoy God doing work. So it's not that it has to be all these spiritual things. And in the middle of all that, I am this light of Jesus every place I go. And you don't have to necessarily be aware of it. My friend Kevin, some months ago, maybe it's last year, he told me, we were just talking as friends and whatnot. And he says, when we were young and I had a number of students over the years. And they all, in one way or the other, would get to know each other and stuff like that at that point. And he says, I don't think anybody's ever said this to you. He says, but those that knew you always knew that something miraculous was happening through and in your life. And I thought, wow, God. And I thought, isn't that amazing? I wasn't aware of any of those kinds of things happening, and yet God was doing them irregardless of me. One of his fellow students was my student. I think it was just, they overlapped a bit. I had him for like 9 months. It was like physics boot camp, and I was tough. I don't seem like that, do I? But I was tough. My very first graduate student just became president of our organization, which is kind of interesting. Huh?
Did you give a raise?
No, he works, I forget where he's in, La Jolla, California, or USC La Jolla, or whatever. But yeah, he's a... But see, that is Christ in me, the hope of glory. I was telling about this other physics student overlapped with Kevin. And, he was an interesting guy, a ladies' man, and all kinds of stuff. And I thought, man, just be who I am. And, I could never seem to touch him. And he wanted to be a millionaire by the time he was 30. And he did get there. It's kind of interesting. Even as a young student of mine, he had a Mercedes-Benz. He was that good with his money. And he went on. We were on an international task group together a few years later. After he left, he went to MD Anderson, and we worked together on a project. And still never made contact. And one day, about 10 years later, I'm at a meeting, and he's about 300-400 guys in there, and I sit up front because I heard it, I saw he was giving a talk, so I thought, oh, I'll go see him and listen to his talk. And he's sitting there at the whole giving this talk. He was a very accomplished individual, a very good talker, very good communicator, and he's sitting there smiling at me, and I'm thinking, am I the only guy in the room or something like that? It was interesting. He comes up to me afterwards. And he says, I came to Christ. Absolutely amazing, And that is God working through us. He told me all about it, and this guy became very, he got involved in church, and he was all in. He got very involved in missions. He knew we had, I was very involved in missions. He got very involved in missions. And it was incredible what he did. He led missions trips. In the middle of all this, God just takes him down hard. not because of anything bad he did, but he had a stroke. He was at home and preparing for a missions trip to Africa, and he has this stroke. He's all alone. So he knows what's going on, and he crawls into the house. He just literally crawls. I mean, it was a powerful stroke. Crawls in and finally gets help to himself, you know. Had kept alive enough, you know. But, man, he kept going. And I thought, wow, God, you're just amazing what you can do. Just being and knowing God. And Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? So Jesus makes a very important distinction here. I'm not going to reveal myself to everybody. I'm going to reveal myself to you personally. But he also reveals himself to the lost that's coming to Christ. And that's one thing I look for when I'm interviewing someone, you know, for membership. I look for that moment when what is revealed in your heart is one of the three things that the Holy Spirit does. The righteousness of Christ, sin, the burden of sin that they carry, and or future judgment. When I look for those three things because I know that's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. That's John 16. We're done almost. But I look for that because that is the Holy Spirit revealing Christ to that lost person. And so from that point on in the life of the believer, he wants to reveal himself. Actually, I like to call that progressive revelation. I know there's other people who have other terms for what they think is going on, but it's God progressively revealing himself to us as we walk with him. It's like, you know, your marriage. I mean, when you first get married, you know, you think you know that person, but you really don't. But as life progresses together and you continue to walk each other, you learn stuff about... I still learn stuff about Kathy. You know, I still do. She surprises me from various moments. You know, good things. It's all good. You know, but she'll come up with an expression and, you know, I'll think, wow, you know, that's cool. And that's what it should be like with Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit revealing. He's not shouting about himself. He doesn't do that. But he's revealing Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he continues to reveal. And then in that relationship, he reveals himself. So now he tells us something about what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to reveal himself to you as a believer. And not to the unbeliever in the same way. Now, when he brings the unbeliever to faith, then he starts revealing himself. But, you know, he reveals himself to the believer in an intimate way. And how does he do that? Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's a given. It's not, I got to obey all those commandments and more. And, you know, we got to get phylacteries and turbans and... No, it's not that. It's if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. It's a natural thing to do as in the life of the believer. My Father will love him. He will come to him and make our abode with him. So you have dwelling within you the Trinity in the person of the Holy Spirit. So he's going to abide. He's going to dwell. He's going to pitch his tent with you. So he is there. And our goal should be to enjoy that, not fight him, not do whatever we want to do. It's to enjoy him, allow him to work in our hearts, and allow him to work through us. He also says, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So even Jesus here is saying, what I'm telling you is what the Father has told me to tell you. You have that kind of relationship with the Father through the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. All right. Glory to God. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you so much. You've been so good to us. thank you for being here. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. How we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.